one of these tissues down here. Let me go back to carrying a handkerchief. All right, good morning again. The lesson is on modesty. I'll tell you at the outset, you're going to be disappointed. I don't have any pictures to go with this time, like I usually do with all the other lessons. So, this is something I've wanted to do a lesson on for a while, not because of anyone here. I think everyone does a good job with this. Just to say that at the outset, I heard Larry Rouse say one time, I don't know what the context was anymore, but on a sermon he did back in Auburn that I listened to long ago, where he's like, I don't think this is a problem at this church, but I'm going to preach like it is. And I always like that mentality. And so in the same way, I think it's just good to talk about this, even if it's not a problem. It's just good to have kind of a biblical, you know, answers for these questions and things. The other thing is I want to give credit. A lot of what I've learned about this is from lessons from Stephen Russell at Pepper Road Church in Athens, Alabama. There's the man that preaches there now also, along with him, Marshall McDaniel, has done a couple good lessons on this also that I listened to as well. Both of them did lessons before they were preachers there, but at that church, with it, so it was kind of interesting. So that's quite the lesson to do when you're not the regular preacher. It's bold. I think it's a very useful topic. So let's get into the introduction and establish something that's, I've always combined these things together until I started listening to lessons on these. So we talk about, I'm titling the lesson Modesty, and because that's what I always call it. And maybe there's a better word for all of this combined. Maybe not. I don't know. But you've got two different ideas here. One is dressing appropriately, right? So, you know, generally in our country, for example, you wouldn't stand up here with a Metallica t-shirt on a Sunday morning to preach a sermon, right? Like, that's not really done, or be too much jewelry or anything distracting and things like that, right? And there's a lot of other things that go along with it, but tightness of the clothes and whatnot. But there's appropriateness in the dress. And then there's covering up nakedness and covering up enough of your body to be pleasing to God. And I don't know about you, I've always combined those two ideas together. I think most of the world does. Most of the religious world that's trying to obey what God wants. And so this is a problem, because when you combine those two things together, fancy words, conflate the two ideas. You say, well, the Bible doesn't tell us, you know, exactly what we should wear and exactly what kind of clothing, you know, is appropriate. Can women wear pants or dresses? I know that's like a non-issue now, but there was a time, right? You know, that was a big debate, you know, and the Bible doesn't say anything about pants, you know, for women. And I mean, I don't think, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure it doesn't. I don't think that's really even a concept of a type of clothing then. And so you say, okay, well, we just can't know anything about how to dress. It's just all a mystery. You know, God says we need to dress appropriately, but he doesn't give us any guidance, and we're just lost. And that's the wrong approach. The thing is, he does tell us how to cover up nakedness, how to cover our bodies appropriately, sufficiently, how to cover enough of our bodies to be pleasing to him. And that is objective, right? That's not subjective. That's not a guess. That's not dependent on time and culture. That's a fact. Our bodies still have the same shape, you know, as 2,000 years ago, 6,000 years ago, whatever it was. And so we can know that. And so that's an important thing. And I'm going to say this over and over again, just to drill it in, as we go through, but just know that those are two different ideas, is exactly what the clothes look like, what color they are, and everything like that, and are we covering enough? I'll cover this in three sections. One, I think we would all probably understand and know that nakedness is sin, but I do want to at least prove it from Scripture. And so we'll establish that we do need to cover up. But then we have to say, well, what is nakedness? So then we're going to define what that is, and, you know, what those standards are. To give it away a little bit, as we read in our, kind of hinted at our Scripture reading in Genesis 2 and 3, nakedness is not simply you have zero clothes on. You can have some clothes on, like Adam and Eve did with their fig leaves, and still be called naked. So it's not just, did you cover anything, and okay, you're good, but did you cover enough? And then third, we'll talk about the appropriateness of the dress, which does somewhat depend on time and culture. But okay, so step one, is nakedness sinful? Yes, but let's talk about why. So, as we had in our Scripture reading, Genesis 2, just the last verse of verse 2, at first they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. So there was nothing wrong with that. Are we ever going back to that time? We are not. Not in our lives on this earth. We are never going back to that. So, as a society, anyway, right? In private, okay, that's another consideration, but for all mankind, no. So that's kind of in the past. And then we see in chapter 3 and verse 7, as I said, you know, before this, of course, they eat of the tree. Verse 7, the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves, this is King James, made themselves aprons. Might say loincloth. But the people who study these words understand that's just a small covering around the waist or something. And as we'll see in verse 10, it wasn't enough. So verse 10, and he, Adam, said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. But he just put clothes on, but he's naked. He's got clothes on, but he's naked. So there's more to it than just, I have anything on, I'm okay. There's some level of how much to cover. We'll get into what that is in a later verse, but we'll at least establish he was not covered enough, and so there was sin there. He had to hide from God. He felt the need to. As a side note, we kind of consider how babies are innocent. We all, I think, believe that here, that they're not born with original sin, that what they're doing is innocent and not. You know, not something you can convict them of, and say, oh, that's a terrible thing. And so often we'll give it all a pass and you know, take pictures of the baby in the bathtub and things like that and just be okay with it, you know, out in the open. So it's true, they're not sinning, but we know it's sin. And because we know it's sin, we need to train them to do what's right. If we have a 1-year-old in our house, if a baby, is hitting or biting, us, we don't let that go unchecked because it hurts, but also because we don't want them to learn to do that. I say them, I'm just being in general in our house, him, I don't mean to make that too generic sounding, but, you know, we're going to make sure that he understands not to do that anymore. The same with nakedness, right? Okay. He's not sinning, but we're going to train him the right way. It doesn't mean you just give it a pass for everyone everywhere. You know, we see in our world, Isaiah 5 verse 20, I wasn't planning to turn there, but you know, people will call good evil and evil good. And we see that much today is people will, you know, call nakedness, acceptable. It's artistic, you know. I ran into that around the holidays, you know, looking for books to get our kids. We do toys too. No, we're not that boring. But I was looking to get a book for each of our older kids. You know, one with lots of pictures. So for my son, I got something with architecture. And for my daughter, she's into art, but I couldn't get an art book because there's so many nudes in the artistic world, because that's considered acceptable. But it shouldn't be. It's shameful, right? So it doesn't get a pass because it's artistic. Just because the world calls evil good doesn't make it okay. So, okay. Another consideration, if you look at Leviticus 18 verse 6, I know a lot of this is going to be from the Old Testament, and we don't live under the old law, but I think these standards of what God is establishing and communicating to us of what is nakedness and what is inappropriate would still carry on. There's things, as the last verse on this slide is in Revelation, in the New Testament books, you know, nakedness is shameful. So I think we could still use these scriptures to help us understand what are the standards. But Leviticus 18 verse 6, this whole section goes on to explain. I'm reading one verse, but that's just kind of the introductory verse that gets explained at length in all the following verses. It says, Leviticus 18 verse 6, "None of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord." Now, is it sinful in and of itself to do literally what it says, to uncover the nakedness? Perhaps, but it seems like it's more of a metaphor for something else, and the adults in the room know what I mean. But even with it being a metaphor, what's the metaphor? To uncover the nakedness. So, you know, that shows you what's going on. What is this an equivalent of? What is the sin here? And what does it lead to, right? So, if that's kind of synonymous in a way, if that's used as a metaphor, why would we expose our own nakedness to the world on purpose, right? With our dress. And again, it doesn't mean just completely unclothed. It can be any kind of not meeting the standard. And then scriptures, I'm just going to read through this because I think this is understood well enough that nakedness is shameful. Isaiah 47 verse 3, we're going to come back to that verse later anyway. But it says, "Thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen." So it connects those two ideas, nakedness and shame. Lamentations 1 verse 8, "All that honored her despise her because they have seen her nakedness." So there's, you know, that shame and despising. A lot of these are metaphorical passages about Israel as a whole, not about an actual person. But still, if it's drawing on an idea that nakedness is shameful, then I mean that itself has to be true in order for it to be applied as a metaphor to a country. And then Revelation 3 verse 18, it says, "Be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear." So again, connecting those ideas, shame and nakedness. And this is in the New Testament also. So, so I think what we see kind of in all of that, is hinted in all those three verses, and I'm sure others, is that it's the issue of public nakedness, right? That you know, you're exposed for anyone to see. however far and wide that reaches, whether it's on television or whether it's just at a beach or store or something. I just want to say mall. No one shops at a mall anymore. outlet center. Anyway. And I'm not saying that means it's always okay if it's in a less public setting. We'll get to that in a second. But at least I think the idea is the public nakedness is what we're trying to get away from, right? So are there any exceptions to this rule, right? And again, you see that, you know, maybe in a more private setting, I think of, you know, this example in Matthew 12, where Jesus, this is not about nakedness, but, you know, he says, is it, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Wouldn't you go and, you know, rescue an ox out of a ditch on the Sabbath? Wouldn't you break this commandment in order to save a life? You know, so if you were a doctor, wouldn't you need to, in some cases, see what shouldn't be seen in order to save someone's life or to deliver a life, right? In childbirth, you're really not getting away from it there. You know, caring for the elderly can be difficult and awkward in that way. But there are times I think we understand that that's acceptable. Again, as private as you can make it. what about if you're in a locker room? Or I was in the army, and you don't really get a lot of say in the matter in things. And there's times that you all have to shower together. And so what do you do in that situation? I'm not going to say whether it's right or wrong. I didn't love it, you know, but, you kind of understand that there's times that we have to at least deal with it. If nothing else, but maybe in a matter where you do have choice, what about sports? You know, it's like, well, you know, you can't really, you know, work out that well or do gymnastics or something if you're, you know, not wearing, you know, things that would otherwise be inappropriate. It's like, yeah, but you're off and on TV for the whole world to see and everything, so does that make it appropriate? Does that make it okay? I wouldn't think so, right? And that's what Christians face a lot of times, is we have to give up things that we would want to do. And even more closer to home, right? Going to the beach or going to the pool. There's a lot of, a lot of outfits and whatnot that really, aren't appropriate, in those situations. And I don't see how that's right. So, all right. So I said, I'm going to hammer this home. We're just going to kind of do a reminder of our main 3 points before we move on to the next section. Which is that, nakedness is sin, as we covered that. And then we'll talk about how there are standards for what needs to be covered up. That nakedness is not just subjective. Then we'll get to dressing appropriately after that. So take a drink of water. All right, so we read this already, but and talked about this, but Adam and Eve were partly covered, right? They had loin coverings, as some translations say. We might think of that as just underwear, you know. Genesis 3, verse 7, but verse 10, they were still naked. What's in that realm? What is uncovered and can be called nakedness, right? So Isaiah 47, I said we'd get back to this. So Isaiah 47, 1 through 3. And I will turn there. Again, metaphorical, but still gives us an illustration here. Isaiah 47, starting verse 1. Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones and grind meal, uncover thy locks, make bare the leg, uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered. Yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not meet thee as a man. So in verse 3, he says nakedness is uncovered. And what did they do to uncover that nakedness? Is to make bare the leg and uncover the thigh. Is it the whole leg? I don't think so. We'll get to there. But some portion of the leg and the thigh being uncovered is nakedness. Do most female bathing suits cover all of that? Probably not. and then to kind of go along with that, Exodus 28:42. Exodus 28:42. This is a priestly garment. You say, well, we're not priests. Well, We're a kingdom of priests in First Peter. So I might say, yes, we are a holy nation, a royal priesthood. Even still, that's not the point. The point is just to see what coverings did they use to cover up nakedness, and what did it cover? Not necessarily to say we're priests, although you might make the argument. So Exodus 28:42. Sorry, one more page for me. And it says, "And thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness, from the loins, even unto the thighs they shall reach." And other translations might say from the waist to the thighs. Where on the thigh? Just anywhere. And the language, again, the lesson I mentioned, one of the ones that I heard Marshall McDaniel do, he had a good, he's a big geek, he's a geek too, but he's a Greek scholar. That's a Freudian slip there. And he's very good with Greek and Hebrew word studies and things like that, and he explains how this construction in Hebrew of from here to there is all of that region, right? So in the same way, they would say something like, you know, we would say, if I want to talk about something that's going to happen next Sunday, I would say 7 days from now. A Jew would say 8 days from now, because they're including today, you know. And so the same sort of idea, they're including the beginning and the end. So when it says from the waist to the thighs, it means from the beginning of the waist to the end of the thighs. To really put a fine point on that, the thigh begins at the waist. So if it was from the beginning of the waist to the beginning of the thigh, it's just a belt, right? So it's got to cover something. It's the whole area. As a side note to that, it made me think of the phrase girding up your loins. You may not know this unless you know King James language, I don't know, but Exodus 12, verse 11, and there's other passages where they're doing the Passover, and he says, 12:11, that's right, yeah. "And thus you shall eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." So part of the story behind the Passover, why the bread is unleavened, is because they were in a hurry, right? And so they're dressed like they're about to run out, right? Because they are. They're about to go travel across the Red Sea. So they've got their loins girded. So this is a command that even in future generations, I think, right? Well, at least in this generation. Actually, I'm not certain if that's commanded for future generations, but at least in this one, they're supposed to be loins girded. So that's acceptable. And what on earth is that? And you can look this up, but it's, you know, all the pictures of first century clothing. And well, this is actually even before that, ancient Israelite clothing, where it's like a robe. And for those that have ever been deployed to the Middle East, you know that even today, the garments are like that, right? Because it's sunny and hot, and you kind of don't want to be sunburned, and they didn't have sunscreen, right? So, and other reasons, right? You're just protecting yourself from dust and all sorts of things. So they had long garments to wear. But if they needed to travel a lot, they'd kind of gather up some of the fabric and, you know, gird your loins to kind of tie it off a little bit so your legs could move a little more freely. Doesn't mean they were indecent, but at the very minimum, you kind of get the hint. You could expose the lower part of your leg and still be acceptable to God is what I'm getting at, right? So it's not that you have to be covered from, you know, absolute head to toe. But, you know, there is at least some leeway there for the bottom half of the leg. So, and then Isaiah 20 verse 4, is another part to be uncovered, and that's your bottom. Isaiah 20 verse 4, and, And, yeah, so 20 verse 4, so shall the king of Assyria lead away the Egyptian prisoners and the Ethiopian captives, young and old, naked and barefoot, even with their buttocks uncovered, to the shame of Egypt. So, in case it wasn't clear, that needs to be covered too. And then I won't read the other ones in Ezekiel 16 and 23. I've heard other preachers say, at least two of them kind of cite this as the chest needs to be uncovered, especially if a woman. Of course, we would all agree with that, but it's a little hard for me to kind of discern that from these verses. So I'm not sold, or at least able to explain those two, but I'll just throw them out there because I feel that some faithful brethren have put those out as evidence. But even without all that, you could ignore just about everything I just said and just go to Genesis 3:21, and let's see what God did cover the people with, Adam and Eve. And so in Genesis 3:21, unto Adam and also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. My footnote here says tunics is the word there in verse 21. And so what is a tunic? Well, it's something like a shirt or a long, you know, long robe or something. Translated in various translations, often as coat or robe. Your translation in Genesis 3:21 might say garment. That's nice and vague, right? Because like we can't possibly know what they were wearing. It's like, well, it used a specific word, tunic. It seems that there is a word for garment. if you look at Job 30 and verse 18, you'd have to turn there, but it says. I mean, the context of the verse isn't necessarily important. It's just kind of what we see in the clothes in this verse. So Job 30 verse 18, with great force, my garment is disfigured. That's not the word tunic. It binds me, about like the collar of my tunic. So, they've got a separate word for garment, just a generic, like any kind of clothing. But then there's a word for tunic. And it has a collar. So you get the sense that it goes up to the shoulders, and then comes down, right? That would be the animal skins that God made for Adam and Eve. We've already established that you've got to cover the lower half, and they had done that, and it still wasn't enough. but the upper half of your body, your torso, I would say from the shoulders down, needs to be covered. That's what's covering nakedness in the eyes of the Bible. So, and you've got other references like that. You think of Joseph's coat of many colors is the same word for tunic. There's a bunch of references for this word, but you always get the sense that it's something that starts up at the shoulders and hangs down somehow. So it's covering the top half also. Again, you know, are there any exceptions to these sorts of things? So what about men wearing shorts and no shirt on? Our society is completely okay with that, but I would say no. That's not how God covered Adam and Eve. That's He wanted them not naked, and He covered their torsos. And so I think even men should be. I don't think men get a pass with that. And we talked again about, you know, babies. It's like, do they get a pass because they're innocent? It's like, well, they themselves do, but we don't, I don't think, because we know better. And again, the sports or the beach or the pool make exception for these things. I don't see how you could justify that either. So, all right. So again, just to recap, we've covered nakedness as sin, that there are standards of nakedness, that it's not just a guess. Now we'll get into something that is a little, you know, more subjective. And more based on opinion. I wouldn't say completely. I mean, God tells us to be modest, so we've got to have some kind of way to obey that. But it can change, I think, from time and place. appropriateness, right? Nakedness doesn't change. It's still the same body as it was in the garden. That hasn't changed. It's what's appropriate. So, excuse me. A couple verses on this, and I won't really elaborate on them no other reason that I really didn't spend a lot of time preparing to go through these, and also just this is already enough material for one Sunday. So, but 1 Peter 3, 3 and 4, and we can come back to these one day, but sorry, 1 Peter 3, 3 and 4. I'll start in verse 1, because it's really just the beginning of the context. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation, coupled with fear. Verse 3, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting or braiding of the hair, and wearing of gold, and putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. So we've got at least, like I say, a general advice of, not being too showy with our clothes. This is written to women specifically. Could you also apply it to men? I would think that the same principles apply to both. I can't, stomp my foot down on that. But I would, wouldn't necessarily recommend that we, as men, make a great show of what we do and how we dress. Because even that can be a distraction, especially if you're up in front of the room teaching. How men dress can often be a distraction as well. And if you look sloppy, it might be a distraction also. 1 Timothy 2:9 is another passage. Again, I'm not really taking time to expound on these, but just to read them into your hearing. We'll read 9 and 10. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. A very similar idea as the last passage. Kind of hits the nail on the head a little more, and modest apparel, whatever that is. It takes discernment, and understanding. Shamefacedness is a neat King James word for that. That not wanting to outshine, other people. All right. So, just some practical considerations as we come toward the end here. And this is one that, I heard Stephen Russell say a lot, and I really appreciate the thought there. Can you move around and still be covered? So, a lot of this, it's a lot easier for men, I know. They sell clothes for men that cover us up. Women, I'm sorry for you all when you try to shop. I really am. A dress in the store, you put it on in the changing room, you stand in front of the mirror. It covers everything you think it should, but what if you were to sit down in that same dress? Is it going to ride up and then, show more of the thigh or whatever than is appropriate? Then are you still really covered? Is it enough to just be covered while standing in front of a mirror, or is it, should we consider what it is when we move around a bit? For men too, though, right? You can wear t-shirt that kind of comes up, we don't like to throw away clothes. And, even if we've gained a little weight and that shirt's a little smaller on us than we'd like to admit, maybe it's time to get a bigger shirt, on the other side, tight clothing, that again goes into, you're covered, but, is it modest? Is it appropriate? you know, or is it a little too sexual in nature, you know? Exposing undergarments, that's one I saw on someone else's PowerPoint slide. I thought that was a good point. You know, you see that where something peaks out just above a woman's blouse or something like that, you know, and it's, you know, maybe you can see the lines a little too well. That's probably immodest, I would say, right? and then, you know, like I said, showy, that's kind of what these passages have been getting at, you know, just really drawing attention. Another thing, especially for men, I think we get hung up on this, is, t-shirts that might have some sort of image or message on them that's lewd or has innuendo in it or something like that. You may not even catch it at first, but, you know, that's not appropriate, right? That's not something a Christian should wear. Something I heard, from a brother long ago, in Brunswick, made this point, you know, you get one of those free t-shirts if you do a 5K run for this or that or something. And then it's got all the charities on the back that helps, you know, support the run or whatever. You know, you're doing free advertising for them. Do you support all of their causes? You know, if not, you know, maybe you, maybe you've got a rag to wash a car with now rather than, something to wear in public. So, all right. So, in conclusion, as we talked about, nakedness, of course, is sin. We need to cover up, but we do have standards that we can go by. We're not just adrift aimlessly in these things, but even beyond that, when we've hit the bare minimum, we still want to consider how to dress appropriately and modestly as well. but as a final thought, as we lead toward an invitation, you know, it is a sacrifice to do these things, to cover up and to dress modestly. It's going to cost you something. I know for women's clothing, they really, if you ever see, you know, the red carpet at some awards show or something, the men, I mean, there's always exceptions, right? But the men are covered from neck to shoes all the way down, and the women have little on, right? And it's just the way of the world, right? The women's clothing especially just tries to get smaller and smaller. I don't know why that is, but it's a challenge for women to find modest clothing. Unless you're able to make it yourself. And the ones that are out there that do offer modest clothing often can be a higher price tag. Probably, you know, made in the U.S., not in a cheap sweatshop in China or something. I know it's a sacrifice. It really is. But that's how it is. 2 Samuel 24:24 is the story of David, where he refuses to be given the field, I think it is, but he insists on buying it. He says, you know, I will not offer something to God that I did not pay for. And so in the same way, it's understandable that we're going to have to sacrifice in that way in order to be modest. Or just the simple fact that you may need different clothes, and all the ones you have that you invested in aren't, you know, acceptable, and you need to change that. Either way, it's it can be a sacrifice. And so as we extend the invitation, if there's any here that need to obey the call of the gospel to dedicate your life to God, that's a sacrifice. You're giving up everything of your former life as well, in order to follow him. We know that we need to, and we know that there's an eternal reward. So if there's any that do wish to obey the call of the gospel or ask for the prayers of the saints, then this is a good time to come forward as we stand and sing.